Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Office Hours. Before we dive in, I have a quick favor to ask of you. If you're enjoying listening to Office Hours, do you mind taking a moment to subscribe, leave a review, and share the podcast with someone who could really benefit from some of our learnings that we talk about together? Your support helps us reach so many more entrepreneurs and business owners, and it helps us keep creating really valuable content because we get more feedback, learn what more people's needs are, and it really just helps us build a community all together. So would really appreciate it. And thank you so, so much. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Office Hours. I'm specifically talking about something today that was brought up to me in a couple different sessions that I was doing with advisors last week. I was meeting with a really well-known and renowned agency. They had me come in and speak to both their newer advisors and some of their top producing advisors in two different sessions. And we talked about a lot of different needs and use cases and things that they just had questions about and wanted to basically just improve on in their business. And the big topic of conversation was standard operating procedures or SOPs. And so I decided to dedicate an entire episode to this today because I think a lot of times when we talk about SOPs, it's really easy to assume that you need to go just copy what other people are doing or learn what other SOPs are. And there's a lot of tools and templates out there that you can also buy and implement into your business. And I'm going to kind of break down all of those. What I do recommend, what I don't recommend. Again, what I do is not for everyone, but like this is kind of my best practices, and hopefully this is going to be something useful for you. So today's episode is really about how to write SOPs that you will actually use. So if you ever feel like you are just someone that is living in the day-to-day of your business and not necessarily taking a step back and figuring out how to kind of automate some things, make your business move faster, build quicker, grow better, this is something that's really fundamental and kind of the cornerstone of what is going to take to make your business grow better and faster. SOPs matter, even if you're someone that is working solo or if you're someone that is managing 25 people. It does not matter. You need to set up standard operating procedures so that you can do repeatable processes, sure, so you can bring on new people, sure, but also so that you can figure out where you can automate things, take things out of the manual of your day-to-day, and it'll help you kind of realize and effectively implement the automation of things and taking your business from very reactive to something that is much more repeatable. So when you are considering SOPs, it is okay if you're someone that's just a solo advisor right now that is saying, you know, I don't really intend on hiring anyone anytime soon. This isn't really an issue for me. I totally hear you. If you're someone that started in the last 6 months, you may not even know what your SOPs are going to be yet. And that's super fair. But this episode is still very much for you because you should probably be already starting to get into a rhythm of things that are repeatable. And that is the moment where you need to start writing things down. And if you're someone that is doing everything differently for every different client, well, let this be your first big red flag sign letting you know that you need to definitely take a step back and stop doing everything custom for everyone. It's just not feasible for you to A, grow, or B, be profitable. So I'll give a little bit of kind of context and story from what worked and what didn't work within Lucia and also my previous company, Tripkit. And you know, hopefully my mistakes can help you do a better job of growing your business. So early in the days of Lucia, we started out by, and even my previous company, Tripkit, we started out by not documenting anything. That was partly because we didn't really know what the business was going to be yet. We didn't know what the repeatable processes were. And there's something to be said for that. You don't necessarily know what works yet. You don't know where the issues are going to be. But when you start to find things to become a little bit repetitive or something that you're doing over and over again, that is the moment where you start to write that down and start building an SOP for that thing. Now, you'll notice the way I kind of say this is as if it's a specific project or a specific task in your day-to-day that you're documenting, not your entire day. And the reason I say that and the way that I'm kind of starting off this entire conversation by breaking things down in chunks is just because you are not able to document your whole business in one day. It's not feasible. You need to be able to work this into your day-to-day workflow. You need to be able to work this into the broader, you know, challenge of you building your business. You have 100 other things to do in a day. You don't have the ability to sit down and write standard operating procedures on a given Saturday afternoon and then move on. Mostly because you're going to forget a lot of things that you do also because things change all the time and you need to be able to iterate and move on them. And also you might not be, unless you're doing it in the process of working on something, you might not be nailing it exactly how you do it. And so when you're building out your SOPs, when you're thinking about documenting your business, I recommend starting in chunks. And this is the same way when I recommend people use Lucia in chunks. You don't go to Lucia to hire someone to run your entire business for you, or at least some people try to, but we tell them not to. You're supposed to start by, you know, picking one thing that's a really big pain in the butt and you want someone to outsource for you, like migrating you from one itinerary platform to the other. So just keep that in mind, that when I say things that you're supposed to start documenting, you do this in chunks. You do this in steps. You don't do this all at once. You don't do it on a given afternoon. You need to do it in the process of iterating, growing, and building. And you're going to keep editing them for a lot of different reasons. Okay, so back to the early Lucia days. We didn't write anything down. And frankly, there's a lot of the business that still isn't written down, which is a huge miss, but we're doing and getting better at this. But one of the things to keep in mind is that it doesn't matter necessarily how you start. It just matters that you do, because you're going to continue improving and iterating. So we started off by not writing anything down. We then started keeping notes in Notion, which I've talked about quite a bit before. Notion is an incredible tool. It really iterates and moves with your business. It helps you scale up and down as you need, but really any tool works. Again, I'm a big proponent of this. I'm not necessarily the type of person to say you need to move different technology tools if you have something that's working for you. If you're using Asana, if you're using Excel even, I don't care. Just whatever working for you, it matters more to me that you're documenting. Now, if you're someone that's really good with technology and you're like, no, I need something that's fantastic. Okay, yeah, use Notion 10 out of 10 times. If you're someone that has no systems yet, look at Notion. It's really easy to use. So that's something to keep in mind. What you don't want to make the mistake of, though, in especially the beginning stages, is overcomplicating things or trying to make things like pretty before it's useful. The goal of documenting things and writing them down is literally just to write things down and get a better understanding of what the business takes in a day-to-day to understand where the processes are. Do not try to overcomplicate this. Do not make it look all pretty, and do not try to like focus on things that don't matter. What I recommend is setting aside, you know, an hour as you're working on something. If you find something that's repeatable, find an hour later that evening to like write down the SOPs for that specific project or product or whatever it is that you're doing. And just brain data dump information into this Word doc or Notion page or whatever, and do not edit anything. That's usually like my rule of thumb. Do not touch the formatting. Do not touch the organization of it. Just dump Word vomit information, and then go back and clean things up. But again, not from a design or anything perspective. This is purely just to make sure you have the right information down and make sure it's just organized cleanly. But don't worry about making it too overcomplicated for what it is. This is going to change. This document is going to change. So just keep that in mind. Now, what has gotten better for us though, and the ways that you can think about documenting better in the future, one of the tips that I like to think of is you're writing for the future you, and not just necessarily for like your future team just yet. Because if you're a solo advisor, you may not be thinking like, I'm not sure if I'm going to hire yet. I don't know if I want to bring on an advisor or an assistant or anyone else. I just need to make sure that I'm keeping the boats afloat, making sure I'm making money, making sure I'm getting new clients. And so when you think about this, I don't want you to necessarily think about writing this for a specific new hire, because you're going to get into the frame of how that person should do it. Just think about you and future you. It's going to be a really easy way to word things and move about the business, move about the document, and move about your processes. Don't worry too much about like thinking about that future hire, because you don't know what that role is going to be yet. You don't know how that role is going to evolve just yet. Also, consider using really simple tools. Loom is incredibly inexpensive, super friendly. I'm surprised I haven't raised the price yet on Loom. You can use voice notes on your phone. You can use Notion, which is free. You can even use Google Docs, also free. There are really simple tools out there that are free and super easy to use and effective. Those are some of my top recommendations, but use those really easy and simple tools. Don't start building out all of these workflows and processes until you've written everything down. Now, notice I keep saying writing things down. Loom works too, but the goal here isn't to like build out workflows into your CRM just yet. I'm talking about documenting and writing processes down. The reason I say that is because that living document is something that you can go back to and review and edit and tweak. But it helps you also see the flow and process of things without being put into other technologies just yet. It means you can have a whole business on one piece of paper or one series of pieces of paper, rather than all the different systems and all the different tech that you currently use. So these are living documents. That's why I recommend writing everything down first. But you need to then review things monthly or weekly or quarterly, however frequent you feel like you need. I think monthly is really healthy, in between. I don't think you need to do it all the time. But I also don't want you waiting longer than a month, especially in the growing stages of your business. You want to make sure that you're reviewing things consistently. And anytime you do any major overhauls, obviously that would be a good time to check in and edit your SOPs. Okay. Those are kind of some best practices. Those are some of the like just introductory things that I wanted to share. Jumping right along into the actual like recommendations or examples itself, I'm going to kind of give you an example of an SOP or examples of SOPs that you can think about starting with and some of the best practices surrounding them. So to start, the goal for just keeping in mind these SOP examples that I'm going to give you is A, that they're examples, so just keep that in mind. It may not work for your business, but also you need to do this without sacrificing your client intimacy, how connected you are to your client, how everything's personalized for them because you are a service provider. You need to also make sure this matches your brand. I don't mean from like a design perspective, but just making sure it conveys your brand. It also can't slow you down. I don't want this to be something that holds you back from being quick within the business or slows you down overall. This is just as meant to be as a way to help you preserve and systematize and automate the business while you're scaling it. It's giving you infrastructure. I don't want this to be something that's like becoming something that holds you back. So an example of that, one of the SOPs that I kind of have written down here on this Notion sheet that I built out literally for this episode was talking about how one of the examples that we had is like how you qualify and convert high quality inquiries. If you have, let's say, a client profile that you like to sell to, maybe it's Disney, maybe it's ultra high net worth luxury, whatever that potential lead is, comes through your website or referral or social media, you need to start with deciding how that triage typically looks. So for someone that has leads through a website, you need to have some sort of like short intake form or CRM tool that's capturing this information. Within that, of course, you need to make sure you're understanding budget, travel style, timeline. This form should not be something that is taking a client forever to fill out. You don't want to necessarily turn away a great client because you have a form that takes 5 million years to figure out. This is a quick general form. You can send one later that's getting a better understanding of that client in depth and in detail to get more like intimately aware of that client. The triage though is literally meant to be just that. The same way when you walk in a hospital, they decide if you're bleeding and dying, or if you're just someone that needs a quick checkup and you can wait. You need to do that same thing within the business. You have a million things going on. You are the center of the hospital ambulance room, whatever that is. This is a terrible analogy, but you're the person that needs to decide what the triage is, but it should be automated in your system. And you should use the tools that you have in front of you, like an intake form or a CRM tool, to kind of suss that out for you. Now, here's the beautiful thing about that. You can also then decide that based on X, Y, or Z things, someone becomes a high priority lead or a low priority lead or maybe somewhere in the middle. Now, if you're like, I don't have a CRM tool or system or whatever that's super sophisticated like that where I can track and lead score, don't worry about it. You can also just review them yourself, of course. But again, of course, that creates a stopping point where you need to personally get involved in order for something to move forward. So I would just say that a tool that you can use is Typeform as well. And Typeform lets you either do lead scoring, super sophisticated, but you can also do it like a if-then structure. So like if a client has a budget above X amount of dollars, or if they are someone that likes to stay in five-star only hotels, then send them to my high priority bucket. If there's someone that only stays in three-star hotels and below, then send them this type of email. And depending on that type of client and the lead score or the type of quality client they are, you can sort them into receiving three different type of emails. If they're a high priority client, you can have an automated email that gets sent out to the high priority client that says, amazing, this is my process. Let's get a time in the book. This is our fee structure, kind of like whatever that initial intake email would look like. if it's a medium client, maybe it's the same email, but you just are a bit more aware of, you know, when you're able to hop on the phone with them. Maybe that link that you're sending has a list of dates that are maybe a little bit farther out, or you just make it really abundantly clear that your fee's at the top of that email. Maybe a high priority client wouldn't care about the fee because it doesn't matter to them, but a medium tier client, maybe it does matter a lot. So you need to, you know, include that at the top of the email. And then a low priority or basically unqualified client would be someone that you just send a kind email saying, hey there, thank you so much for reaching out. We're probably not the best fit for this, but here's a list of three other advisors that I recommend to anyone in my network that might be a good fit for you. Again, this needs to be automated. You don't want to be spending a ton of time trying to like sort people to new advisors and things like that. That would just be like an easy email that you can set out to be automatically triggered. Now, you can also use Zapier, which is an incredible tool that, again, depends how much you're using it, but it can be free for quite a bit of time. And you could trigger automations to come with these things. So the second a meeting is booked on your calendar, you can have a prep doc sent to your Notion or to your email or whatever you set up so that there is a list of the, you know, input of the information that was filled out in that form. Maybe you have an AI summarizer, just input a kind of like a general blurb up top for you so you know about that client a little bit. And then maybe it also books a time on your calendar, you know, for the day before of that consult meeting for you to prep. Or maybe it sends a ping to your assistant or someone else on your team to review that doc and prepare anything that you need to know before going into that call. You can kind of see where I'm going with this. You can use Zapier and these kind of automation tools to prep time in your calendar, book time in your calendar for like prep meetings. You can have a document that preps you for that call. It can set reminders on your own calendar as well as a follow-up in case they don't book. So let's say you send that email and they don't actually book anything and they don't move forward. Well, that's just a total waste, especially since they're a high-quality client. But you don't want to have to keep track of that. You don't need to be able to like keep an eye on that person's email and make sure that they book a time with you. That's a terrible waste of time. So instead, you could set up a Zapier automation to make sure that you're following up with that person, or you know, maybe that's in your CRM tool or whatever, your email flow desk, so that if they don't book a time with you, it sends out another email saying, hey there, saw you're super interested. Would love to make sure you find a time on the books. Would you prefer a phone call instead of a Zoom meeting or something like that? Or would you prefer we find time today or whatever it is? Something I want to keep in mind here is that those follow-up emails, you want to keep them in quick succession. I was just on that call I was talking about earlier in this episode where I was saying how I was with a pretty prominent agency. And one of the biggest red flags that I kept hearing for some of their top agents were how people were, you know, not moving quick enough and their clients were going elsewhere. It was so easy for a client to leave them and go to someone else, even though they've been working together forever. That client would come back and book with them again for a bunch of other trips. But in that instant moment, if they weren't moving quick enough in that specific trip, they just go book it online themselves. And that is what you're competing against right now. So that follow-up email, it could literally come out hours later or the next morning. You don't want it to be waiting 4 days before you're sending that follow-up email. So that's just something to keep in mind. So timing's important. Setting up automations is important. Those are some examples. Now, again, you can write all this out on a piece of paper of what information would be good to have or what meetings or what details would be good for you to have. And you can start to write that down. And once you plan out those automations, you can go and execute them. But if you start playing around in Zapier, I promise you, you're going to go get lost for 3 hours playing around with how fun the tech is. That's the benefit of writing all this down. First, you don't get, you know, bedazzled by all these amazing tools and capabilities, and all of a sudden you're looking at this random feature that doesn't matter. So just stay focused, write that doc, and then go and implement it once you've written it down. A few things to point out with this example SOP is, again, this may not be a good fit for you, but the goal here is to make sure you're not allowing unqualified leads to dominate your bandwidth. You want to make sure you're not repeating the same processes with every response. You want to make sure templates are doing the heavy lifting. But also make sure it's a template someone would actually want to read. If you were to receive this email, it's something you'd actually respond to. I feel like a lot of emails that we send out or prep or whatever are things that are like too showy or formal or not at all formal enough and kind of misses the mark on that type of client capturing their attention. So you will need to find a happy medium. If you need help with any of these emails, of course, you can go to Lucia, hire a co-pilot to help write these for you or help set up these automations. But that would just be something to keep in mind. Another kind of like pro tip in this process as well is like you can also include Looms in these things. So you could include a pre-recorded Loom walkthrough of like your planning approach. And it's a face-to-face video of you that helps elevate and set an expectation of trust before you even have that consult. And so you could even send that in that follow-up email, that high quality lead, and all of a sudden you're building trust and encouraging them to book with you. So that's just some little tidbit to keep in the back of your mind. Okay, SOP example number two is a pre-trip service excellence check. This is something that at TripKit, my first company, we call this a pre-trip check. Yeah, trip check. And it was just as hard to say then as it is now. But typically anywhere from 7 to 14 days before departure, we would perform these trip checks before a trip departed, especially for complex itineraries, especially for Europe. This episode is coming out in May. So if you're someone that's having clients leave for June and July, like start doing this right now for your trips that are coming out. But this is just good use case, you know, not just in Europe, but like any other big complex itineraries. So for example, you can create a kind of quality assurance checklist that needs to be done anytime that you have someone departing on one of these complex itineraries. This needs to be the big massive list of everything you need to double check before someone departs. So for example, making sure dinner reservations are all confirmed, making sure that there's no missing days of flights or car transfers, making sure that you've gotten the driver's number for any, you know, departing, any transfer car rides, making sure you've gotten the rail tickets attached to their itineraries. You can kind of see where I'm going with this, making sure there's seats picked on a flight before, you know, their flight coming up in a few days. You want to make sure you check every detail of that itinerary, right? So write down every detail you could possibly have, no matter what type of itinerary it is. And sure, some of these things won't apply because maybe they don't have a rail, they don't have a car, doesn't matter. Write down the full encompassing list and then make sure it's clean, of course, it makes sense. And then you can either keep this as a living like quality assurance document that just gets repeated every time. And the best part is you can hand this off to a virtual assistant. If someone is leaving, set up a Zapier automation based on your CRM tool or your, you know, task management tool. Let's say you have in your tool that says your trip is departing on, you know, the 15th of June, and maybe based, you know, June 2nd, you have an email that's, or a trigger that's sent to your Slack or your email or whatever it is to either you or your virtual assistant saying, hey there, reminder to complete this QA, which is quality assurance checklist for XYZ trip. Now, you could do that quality assurance, but you could also have a trusted virtual assistant do that. And now you have a full list of everything they could possibly check for, and you can have them link to that itinerary. And you go through that full list. They need to reconfirm the transfers, the guides, the VIP notes, the dietary needs, you name it. And all of that work can be done by someone else just because you listed out everything they need to check. And it's impossible for them to miss anything. That's one of my favorites. And we did that all the time. We made sure we included all the transportation, the food, the preferences, you name it. This also had an ending piece where we sent like a final branded itinerary with a know before you go piece. So now that the itinerary is fully ready to go, you can include that know before you go piece. You can also include an automated email to go out as like a check-in email, letting them know like, so excited for you to depart on your trip. Can't wait for your exciting adventure in Italy or whatever. Personally, I would just keep it general. Just as like a, hey there, checking in. Do you need anything before you go email? Just like best practices for like good customer service. You can also include a fun like little personal memo or just like a note, whatever. Another tool is this doesn't have to be an email. It can be a text. And there's plenty of tools that let you link up these automated, you know, Zapier things through text as well. Not trying to overcomplicate it. It could even just be your virtual assistant sending an email from your inbox with, you know, a little voice memo that you've pre-recorded. But like the point is here, you're sending in a check-in email that can be automated. Now, something else to keep in mind here and just something for you to keep an eye out on. You don't want to just confirm logistics in this kind of QA approach. You want to also confirm intentions. So when you're working with your VA or your, you know, ops assistant, you need to like keep, add this to your QA list. Like make sure that you keep in mind, like just because there's no car transfer after a flight doesn't mean there shouldn't be. You need to confirm like details like that. Also, the goal for this itinerary is for them to relax between Paris and Rome. You know, does the pacing feel right? You want to make sure that like the intentions of the itinerary match as well. So include those notes of like, you know, I wouldn't include that specific note. I would just say like include the notes of on that QA checklist of like confirm the intentions of this trip are matched, things like that. And again, the goal is still in this process, not to overload the client or you. The goal is just to portray confidence, organization, and preparedness. Okay, awesome. My pro tip for this section before we move on as well that I have written down here was just like to pre-schedule an in-destination touch point as well. This can be included in your kind of QA checklist, or it can be something that's just automated in your CRM or your task management tool. This can be done via text, WhatsApp, email, whatever. But just to check in as to like, hey, I see you're in Italy. How's it going? Any photos, et cetera, et cetera. Now, again, if someone's already reached out to you, you don't want to have this like automated email go out. So be careful here. Just make sure your communications are not overlapping too much. So just keep that in mind. Okay, I'm giving you a third example here. Hopefully this is super useful. I'm going to give you four total. So we're definitely halfway through. I'm going to give you two more and then we'll kind of wrap up with some other best practices. So my third one here is a post-trip rebooking and referral automation or activation. And kind of the goal here is that like 3 to 5 days within the client returning, you want to kind of send like a welcome home note. And this can be, again, something that's automated with a link to a feedback form. You are a service-based business. There's always room to improve. It's not perfect. You need to collect that info as fast as possible as soon as it's top of mind. And so this is just a way for you to like have this automatically go out so you don't have to think about it. You want to log any standout moments. So like any complaints or, you know, thumbs up from the client about, you know, a VIP win or guides that were amazing or lodging that was fantastic or bad in your CRM for future personalization. Your CRM may not track this. I know it's really challenging sometimes to get like supplier info tracked in CRMs. Maybe you have a living document somewhere else where you track this info, but that's just a moment to like remember to track that sort of information. And also in that process, you might want to also trigger a sort of like referral prompt. So I hope you enjoyed your trip to Europe. Like here's a link to fill out our feedback form. By the way, this was just an incredible itinerary to put together. I think so many people would enjoy it. Do you have anyone else in your network that would love an itinerary, you know, designed for them like this? Or anyone else that's dreaming on going on another European trip soon? Something like that. You can also ask them to, you know, if you enjoyed this trip and you're posting already on social media, don't be afraid to tag us. I love that little line of like, if you're posting on socials, don't be afraid to tag us at whatever, whatever. That's a really good moment because you're not asking them to post for you. You're saying, oh, if you do, just tag us. And by the way, that'll just remind them to post about their trip and share it with all their friends, which they were going to do anyway. You just reminded them to do it. And now you know you're going to be tagged in it. So keep that eye out there. A few things to keep an eye out for, though, in the process of doing this. You don't want to treat this kind of like post-booking as an afterthought. The post-trip is the most important part, in my opinion, for a post-trip retention window. You want to retain all of your clients. You also want to use that retention as a motivation to refer you. And so you need to take advantage of this moment. It's only like 3 to 5 days. After that, you lose them, in my opinion. So I would just say, treat this as an afterthought. Don't let this go longer than a week. That magic fades fast. They're back at work. They're busy. They're busy with school or their kids' activities, things like that. Do it right away. And that's why automating this with sequences that are set to be delayed to a certain number of days, but have like a personal note in it will keep it feeling personalized, but it's still automated. Awesome. That's number three. SOP example number four, guys, is probably my favorite. And this is making sure that you have a healthy understanding. And it's like a business checkup, a healthy understanding of how the business is doing. And this should be done probably either on like a Friday afternoon or Monday morning, depending on what kind of person you are. And this is where you can track and review all of the data of the business. And yes, you need to do this every week. So like tracking what new leads came in, how many new leads came in. You'd be surprised if you sat down every single Monday and said, okay, how many leads came in last week? Do you know the answer to that? Do you know how they're trending? If you got to see like your best months were typically at like 20 leads, but you're only getting 10, I'm using fake numbers here, obviously, but like that you have a signal that's showing you that something's off. Maybe you're not posting enough on social. Maybe you're not sending out enough emails, marketing to people. Maybe you're not doing a good enough job asking for referrals. You need to use those moments to like keep, have you have like a good idea of where the business is. Same with like booked revenue, proposal to close ratio. You can see all these things if you're tracking all this data in your CRM. Maybe it doesn't show it in a dashboard for you there on those systems, but you'll be able to track that pretty easily by saying like, okay, we had 5 trips booked this week. We've sent out 10 proposals. Why are we not closing 50% of the proposals sent out? Example, you know, just something to review. And again, if you have this written out of all the KPIs you'd like to track each week, but maybe your system doesn't automatically create that for you in like a pretty tech-driven dashboard, get an assistant to pull those numbers for you by each Monday morning. So like, I would like to know each Monday morning how many leads we got came through the website, how many people DM'd us, the amount of people we booked, how many proposals were sent out, the top destinations we booked in the last month, whatever that is. And that can be just inputted manually into Notion or another tool. And then you sit down and either with your team, with your assistant, yourself, go through that data. But again, it's okay if you don't have an automatic system to do this for you. That's what an assistant can do for you pretty inexpensively. Every morning, it should take them like 30 minutes. And all of a sudden, you have a full understanding of how the business is doing. This, I cannot emphasize this enough, will teach you how the business is doing in real time, will educate you tremendously, and it'll help you really get a better understanding of how good you're actually doing and not just how good it feels that you're doing. I've been on way too many calls with advisors where they're telling me how they feel like they're not getting any leads or how they feel like they're not closing any bookings. And if I ask them to sit down and tell me the data, they have no idea how they're actually doing. It's just going by a gut feeling. And some folks are doing way better than they expected, and some people are doing way worse. And it really matters that you sit down and really take a look at this data. Okay, awesome. So again, this kind of data, just something to keep in mind, is identify things that you can also delegate in this process, things to systematize, moments where you can add high touch opportunities, things like that. That's like the moment to have those kind of conversations with yourself. But by documenting and writing all this down on a Google Sheet will allow you, or Notion or whatever, will allow you to really understand like where you're doing well or not doing well. Please keep in mind though, don't get lost in the weeds in the process of doing this. This is for having ownership over your business. Knowledge is power. Typically, I find that people are really either scared or living in, building their business out of fear. And a lot of that's just because you don't have all the info. So imagine if you paid someone for 30 minutes every morning on a Monday morning to just pull this data for you. That's something that really will help inform you and remove the fear component of the business that you're running. But do not make this an admin exercise for you. I'm not telling you to write this down. I'm asking you to find a really inexpensive VA. You can find them on Lucia that can pull this data for you every Monday morning. And if you pay a VA for nothing else but that, it is so worth it. But again, also don't track metrics that don't lead to an actual action. So don't track metrics that are just fun to see, like social media followers or random things that have nothing to do with like actual actions that you could take advantage of. Just make sure that you're keeping only the right metrics in play. All right, that was a lot. Hopefully this is helpful. I think there's so much here for you to run with, but I really cannot recommend more. Start by writing things down. Do not start building things out in other tech systems or platforms. The goal here is for you to start writing down systems as to how you can improve the business. Yes, you can buy and purchase other people's templates, but that is not how you run your business. It's how someone felt best practice was as a general, tool to sell as a template. And you then have to go edit it and modify it. And really the process is you really need to still write down all of your SOPs. And if you feel like in that process, now that you have a good understanding of your SOPs, you can go buy a template and then tweak it to your own. That is a great use of money and time, but do not go buy templates and try to edit them before actually making all of these kind of like SOP documents written down first. So SOPs at this level is not about like giving you more work to do. It's about how you're going to really stay on top of the business. It's going to help protect your time, your brand, your energy. It's going to make sure that you have the right customer success and you maintain that sort of white glove standard that's going to keep you above the, Chase and Amexes of the world and make sure that you're providing something that's far above another tech service. So hopefully that's helpful. Wishing you guys the best this week on SOP buildouts. And I'm thinking about doing a little mini series where we start asking users questions and answering them live. So whether you're seeing this on Apple or Spotify, if you can leave a comment there on the episode, on this episode, would love to answer your question in next week's episode. If you're not quite sure how to do that, you can also just send an email to grace@letslucia.com and would love to answer some of your questions live starting this new mini series. So thank you guys so much and hope you have a great rest of your week.